On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories. On Twitter at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls _Pep.
People have their opinion.
What other falsehoods are out there?
A lot of the perception things about us.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
Rebuilds are difficult. Sometimes it takes years and years. I still believe, given a really good offseason with this draft pick that we have coming and with our ability to get some veteran players in here alongside these young guys, we can make a substantial leap.
Kick back, relax. Locked On Bulls starts now.
My job is to prepare the child for the road, not the road for the child. And these guys are men.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Jordan Malley. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls _Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. The place to do that. Our episode today is sponsored by Audible. Audible has the world's largest selection of audiobooks and audio entertainment. Start listening with a 30-day Audible trial. Choose one audiobook and two Audible originals absolutely free. Visit audible.com/lockedonNBA. Listening on the go? If you can't visit Audible right now, you can find this all and all other offers from Locked On sponsors at lockedonpodcast.com/offers. So it's been quite the week. Jordan Malley here. Matt is off. Obviously, I'm recording this at really early on Saturday morning, just hours after the Bulls game against the Heat. The Heat win 116-108 over the Bulls. Bulls go to 5-11, and we've got plenty of things to talk about just from this game alone. Whether it's Zach LaVine getting pulled within the first 4 minutes of the game, the Bulls giving up a 15-0 run in the first 4 minutes of the game, or just the Bulls getting scrubbed for the first three quarters. And I mean, if it wasn't for the bench and for most of those guys in the fourth quarter, this game would have been 20 points or more, and I'm surprised it wasn't. But we'll get into all of that. I wanted to start, though, with just some overall game highlights and talk a little bit about that first quarter. The Heat, obviously, like I said, 15-0 run in the first 4 minutes and 15 seconds. Boylan calls a timeout at the 8:33 mark, and the Heat are already up 13-0, and that's where he pulls Zach LaVine. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But the Heat shot 50% from three in the first half to the Bulls' 20% from three. The Heat had a 28-0 run combined on three different runs in 6 minutes and 44 seconds in the first quarter. I mean, I don't know what else to... I can continue to read all of the unbelievable stats from the Heat in the first half. I mean, doubled in rebounds, the Bulls were 24-12 in the first half. Like I said before, Zach LaVine subbed out of the game after 3 minutes and 27 seconds. Markkanen and Satoransky didn't even play the fourth quarter. Zach LaVine, I think, played about 5 minutes in the fourth quarter, didn't do anything, didn't score any points in the fourth. But yeah, Markkanen and Satoransky, two starters, did not play the entire fourth quarter. One quick positive takeaway from the game, just overall, Chris Dunn had his league-leading 7th game with 3 or more steals, so that's pretty good to see. He has been one lone bright spot, if anything. Overall, his defense's confidence seems to be all there and back. It's just about the offense, which at this point, we're not surprised Chris Dunn isn't giving us a whole lot on offense, and he shouldn't with the way that we were pitched about how this team was going to be this year. Chris Dunn was certainly not supposed to be asked to come off the bench and score a whole ton of points, but good for him. 3 or more steals in the Bulls. That's another lone kind of bright spot of the start of this first 15 games or so. The Bulls are 2nd in steals per game across the entire league. I think they're averaging now up to 9.8 steals per game. So I guess, I mean, I don't know. They're not obviously not turning that into buckets and points, as we saw in the first quarter where they did force a couple of turnovers but came down and shot within 8 seconds and missed. Thomas Satoransky, Zach LaVine, Markkanen, all 3 of those guys. in the first half doing that. So the last thing I had just from this game, that we saw Denzel Valentine in meaningless minutes at the end of the game. He played the last 5 minutes of the game, scored 9 points, and yeah, I don't know. He temporarily, and I think this was just because the starters played so embarrassingly bad, and the Heat had such a commanding lead for almost this entire game. And like I said, the score obviously not telling you the entire story. This game was not an 8-point game, not a close game at all. So Bulls 41 points in the fourth quarter kind of helped that. But yeah, we saw Valentine for a short stint. We saw the two-way player Max Strus from DePaul play about 5 minutes. But yeah, terrible, terrible night for the Bulls again at home, who continuously play terrible at home. I don't know what it is. We just came off a Detroit win, which is nice. But again, I wasn't buying all back in. Oh, Bulls are back. Oh, we killed Detroit. No, it's not impressive at all, because we turn around and take a look at tonight. Heat are actually a really good team, probably one of the best teams in the East right now, at least one of the hottest teams in the East. They come to your home floor. Jimmy Butler drops 27. Let Kendrick Nunn have an absolutely insane first quarter. He ends up dropping 21, so, and you get embarrassed. I mean, what was there? If you were watching this on TV or if you were at the game, what was there? 5,000 people there by the end of the game? By that fourth quarter? Most people left. It's just embarrassing. The Bulls are 5-11. I mean, Lauri Markkanen, again, 3 for 12, 0 for 4 from 3, 9.7 rebounds, 1 assist, and a negative 11 in the plus minus. Zach LaVine had a team leading astonishing 15 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals. He was a negative 19 in 29 minutes. Shaq Harrison and Kobe White. Shaq Harrison at 23 minutes. He was 3 from 8 from the field. He had 10 points, 2 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, and a block. He was a plus 5. Kobe White was 4 for 10 from the field. He didn't make any 3-pointers either, but he had 12 points. So Shaq Harrison, I felt bad for him. He was asked to guard Jimmy Butler and to guard Kendrick Nunn in that first quarter, and he was just getting picked left and right, left and right. And we'll talk about this in a second, but Zach LaVine, no help in defense. Guys all over the place. You know, part of the reason was it seemed like Shaq Harrison was overmatched, but at least you can't say that the guy isn't giving you 100% effort. I mean, there was 2 or 3 plays right there in that first 4 minutes where Shaq Harrison was bouncing from 2 to 3 different defenders, trying to just stick a hand in somebody's face as they're taking a wide open three. So if there's anybody on this Bulls team right now that has at least told me, you know what, it sucks that you're playing here because we don't have any wing depth, but Shaq Harrison at least has made the most of his minutes so far. And you're seeing that with Jim Boylan now. Jim Boylan is going to the guys that are giving him effort, doing everything he says exactly the way he says it, making the most of their opportunities. And that's why you see Ryan Arcidiacono getting more opportunities than a guy like Denzel Valentine. I don't know what to say, though. It's not good enough. It's not the product we were sold on September 30th of this year. No Otto Porter, no Chandler Hutchison, no wing depth at all, no scoring. So I don't know where this team goes from here, but we'll stay on the Heat game, and then we'll talk a little bit about the Bulls' upcoming schedule for the next week or so, and then just talk about what happens a month from now or so. We're going to hear from Jim Boylan and Zach LaVine, too, in a little bit. But I wanted to talk about Zach LaVine's first quarter mistakes and what made Jim Boylan pull him. Because the funny thing is, Jim Boylan, what was it, not even 2 weeks ago, said that he doesn't yank guys?
I've never yanked guys.
I mean, come on. Says he never yanks guys. And then he yanks LaVine after making a couple of mistakes. Well, and it really wasn't a couple of mistakes. It was more than that, but it wasn't 3 defensive mistakes. At least I didn't see 3 defensive mistakes. I went back and watched that first 3.5 minutes about 6 or 7 times. What I came up with Zach LaVine was, to start the game, first he misses the shot. He airballs the 3 to start the game. Not a great look, but whatever. He score a couple of points. I believe they hit the 3 and hit a 2. They're up 5-0. On an offensive possession, LaVine's got the ball near the Bulls bench, and he steps out of bounds, creates a turnover. Okay, not great. 0 for 2. That's 2 offensive mistakes, though. 9:58 marker. He'd have the ball. LaVine gets screened by Leonard. Stays on Leonard. Shaq Harrison has to take over for Jimmy Butler. So Shaq Harrison's on Jimmy Butler now. LaVine commands Satoransky now that he's on Myers Leonard at the three-point line. Commands Satoransky to take on Myers Leonard, and he'll take Duncan Robinson. Sure, Duncan Robinson goes to the far end of the court near the three-point line, gets the ball. LaVine takes on Robinson. Robinson is a clear catch-and-shoot three, makes the three. So the two rotations that LaVine decided not to make on cost to the Bulls a three there. I mean, the shifting of going from Leonard, from Butler to Leonard was just laziness off a screen. I mean, that's why he shifted to Leonard and commanded Shaq Harrison to go to Butler, which Shaq Harrison did a good job on Butler. So not great, 0 for 3. At the 9:05 mark, LaVine wanders off of Duncan Robinson again. Looked like Shaq Harrison and Zach LaVine had to switch spots at that point because Shaq Harrison can't guard Duncan Robinson. And at that point, the Heat had three big guys in. So Jimmy Butler and Shaq Harrison on Jimmy Butler again. So LaVine like wanders towards the basket, leaves Duncan Robinson wide open in the corner. Then he chases back to Robinson to cover him. Butler sets a screen on him. And then Duncan Robinson rolls to the basket, and it leaves Jimmy Butler wide open for three in the corner because Zach LaVine rolls with him and picks his own guy in Shaq Harrison. Luckily, Jimmy Butler didn't make the three, but, I mean, that's the first 3 minutes of the game we see four mistakes from Zach LaVine right out of the gate. So it didn't look like Zach LaVine was having all of that great of a game, and he wasn't doing a whole lot of moving either on offense at the beginning, especially missing that first one and then having a turnover on offense. He just kind of hung out in the corner for the next couple of possessions. But at the 8:33 mark, this is where Boylan calls a timeout finally. LaVine gets back on defense early after two or three attempts for an offensive rebound by Markkanen and Carter. LaVine got one. If LaVine would have stayed on the offensive side of the ball, there's a legit chance that he could have had that rebound when it was kicked out by Markkanen. But that doesn't happen. The Heat come back in transition. Zach LaVine's more than capable of being on defense, sits back by the basket. Kendrick Nunn comes down, hangs out by the three. Zach LaVine ignores him completely, acts like he didn't even see him. And Kendrick Nunn, what does he do? Buries a wide open three. Bulls call a timeout. Zach LaVine's taken out of the game. So that's five mistakes that I caught in the first 3.5 minutes of the game. I don't know if you guys caught anything else. I'd like to see it, but those were the mistakes that I could see. I guess those are the three mistakes Boylan is talking about. But one of them was on a Butler mistake that didn't even cost him a basket. But I guess he still counted that as a negative defensive move, which, okay, I can understand that. And then coupled with the fact that he airballed the three and then had a turnover on offense, maybe that's why Jim Boylan pulled him. So there's five mistakes. Would you pull your star starter, supposed to be your star starter, the number one guy right now that's giving you offense out of the game in the first 3.5 minutes when you haven't scored a bucket yet? Bulls didn't score a bucket for like the first 4.5 minutes of this game, and they were down 15-0 before they even blinked. If you're Jim Boylan, do you take LaVine out of that game? Do you really have that little of confidence in him to turn it around? I don't know. I still feel like that's treating LaVine as if he's a rookie or if he's the first or second year in the league. Like, this is Zach LaVine's sixth season. If he can't figure out how to get out of that slump in the first 3.5 minutes and doesn't have the trust from his coach to leave him in the game, then what are we doing? What are we doing? Zach LaVine was asked about it. And actually, you know what? I want to play the Jim Boylan stuff first because I think that's interesting to play before we hear from Zach LaVine. But let's listen to Jim Boylan in post game.
I thought he needed a break. I thought he needed to come in and think about it. I felt there were some defensive mistakes that didn't need to be made. And I thought he needed to come over and think about it for a minute.
Obviously,
I've done that a couple times this year,
right?
As you know, yeah.
You've also challenged him to be a better two-way player, both finally and publicly with us. Where do you think he stands?
Yeah, I think we can all do better. I put a lot of pressure on him to improve and be a two-way player, and we're still in those learning moments.
I never yanked guys.
Okay, I get it. Like, yeah, LaVine had a bad, but again, it goes back to exactly what I said. You've done this before to other guys. You did this to Carter last year. You did this to Dunn last year. You did this to Markkanen early on in the season already. And we're asked about why you're pulling guys late. And obviously it's not been at the beginning of the start of the game, but Jim Boylan's really prided himself on first quarters this year. So seeing that the Bulls got their ass kicked in the first 4 minutes and we're down 15-0, I can see why he pulled LaVine, but I don't agree with it at all. Again, it goes back to that trust factor. If this was flip-flopped and the Bulls went on a 15-0 run and Jimmy Butler made these mistakes, would Eric Spoelstra pull Jimmy Butler? Probably not. I don't think so. If this happened to the Clippers and the Bulls were up 15-0 against the Clippers, then I'll laugh. It's they would never in their dreams be up 15-0 against the Clippers, especially this team. But would Doc Rivers pull Kawhi Leonard if he had these mistakes early on from LaVine? I don't think so. So there's a clear separation already, besides just the play that we've seen from LaVine this season so far. There's a clear separation of trust between LaVine and Boylan, and I thought we smoothed this over last year. Remember when we had all these issues in December and January when Boylan took over? What happened to the lovey-dovey, I pay for your ejection and your fine back in February that everybody gloated about for the next 2 months? Where's that? What happened to that? This doesn't seem like Jim Boylan has a whole lot of confidence or trust in Zach LaVine. And it's not to say that Zach LaVine has shot lights out by any means or, you know, have had 40-point performances where he deserves to make up for those mistakes necessarily. But it just runs back to that trust issue. Does Boylan trust Zach LaVine and vice versa? Does LaVine trust Boylan? Here's a little bit more Jim Boylan on why he decided to pull Zach LaVine.
I just pulled him. I didn't, you know, I'm not combative. Guys know.
Right.
They know. Guys know.
There were a lot of
Zach guys. LaVine and Larry Markkanen and our starters got to play better. They got to play better for us to become who we can become. That's how it works.
I mean, he isn't wrong. The starters have been garbage. I mean, the Detroit game, okay, I'll give them that. And that was mostly the bench's doing. That's the most points the Bulls bench had scored this entire season. For the most part, the Bulls bench had been getting outscored. But that doesn't mean the starters have been any good either. The starters have been terrible. Starters have been absolutely terrible. Satoransky has been an absolute disappointment on the offensive end. We have no Otto Porter, so that sucks too. Chandler Hutchison was nowhere to be seen, so we're back to Shaq Harrison again. Starting games. This is what we were doing in March of last year. This is not what I envisioned at the first 15 games of this Bulls season. This is not what we were pitched. You know, Satoransky has done some nice things, but has he commanded the money that they signed and traded him on the offseason? Definitely not. He's not the player, at least to start this season, that we were pitched in from, you know, watching all the highlights from the Wizards games. And same thing with Otto Porter. You know, we were warned. We were warned in February by Otto Porter's injuries. And that's coming back again. And the Bulls did nothing to secure or make us feel comfortable. If Otto misses some time, who's going to step in? Chandler Hutchison, who's dealt with injuries for the last year, continues to deal with injuries. Like, now he's got a shin problem. Again, no security. No security at the position. And it's killing the Bulls. It's killing them because Lauri Markkanen's nowhere to be found. Zach LaVine's not the same guy last year when he started off super, super hot. He's not the same guy right now. So I don't know. I don't know where they're going to get their offense from. I mean, once every couple of weeks from Coby White where he'll drop 30? Like that's not a plan this season. You guys, they pitched us playoffs and we're getting garbage right now. We're getting garbage. That's what 5-11 tells me. When you made all these signings for Thaddeus Young and you signed and traded for Thomas Satoransky and, you know, LaVine got all the money that he did the previous season. Lauri Markkanen was supposed to take this turn in his third year. Not seeing a whole lot of that right now. We're going to get to Zach LaVine's comments in a second, but NBA and NCAA basketball are underway. The NBA has been underway for about a month. Same thing with the NCAA. But if you want to feel part of the action, the best way to do that is having a stake in the game at mybookie.ag. Mybookie.ag, betting on the season, betting on a single game, betting on a player, whatever it is, if you're going to bet this season, do the smart thing and go to mybookie.ag because no one gives you more ways to win. If you join right now, MyBookie will double your first deposit. Use promo code LOCKEDONNBA to activate your offer. That's promo code LOCKEDONNBA to double your cash at mybookie.ag. Use your basketball knowledge to prove you have more than what it takes at mybookie.ag, where you make it easy to play and even easier to get paid. It's mybookie.ag, promo code locked on NBA to double your first deposit today. All right, let's listen to Zach LaVine now, because Zach LaVine's got some interesting comments after Jim Boylan spoke about why he decided to sit down on Zach LaVine. And he also, to Boylan, too, real quick before we get to LaVine, he also said, too, that he's going to think about maybe shifting some starters around and giving some other guys some minutes.
I'll process it and think about it. You know, I don't think it's wise to talk about those things after a game like this. It's pretty, you know, it's an emotional time. You know?
It's very emotional. Real, real emotional. Not for just the players, for the fans, too, and maybe the 3,000 people that were there to watch you guys close it within single digits tonight, but... Anyway, here is Zach LaVine. Let's first start just with his overall reaction to Boylan pulling him after 3.5 minutes.
You know, I've got pulled early before by him. I guess that's just his thing to do. I got to take it with stride. I'm not the coach. You know, what did he say I get pulled for?
He said you made 3 egregious defensive mistakes.
Yeah. Zach LaVine's, you know, got 13 points scored on him, I guess. Or, you know, it was a starting 5. I don't remember. So I thought I did. You know, I thought I was trying to do my job out there. So, you know, I got to take it with stride. And like I said, I can't do anything about that. I just got to control what I can control. I can't control my minutes.
See, that's the interesting thing, too, is it's not like the rest of the 4 starters played amazing either within that first 4 minutes. The rest of the guys sucked. Satoransky missed, you know, comes down with the ball and misses a shot after 4 seconds, tries to run a layup in. Markkanen was nowhere to be found. He missed a couple defensive assignments. Carter didn't do anything special either, so Shaq Harrison was the only one working his ass off, and he was getting cooked by Kendrick Nunn and by Jimmy Butler, so I don't know what to say. But it is interesting comments by Zach LaVine there, like him talking about Jim Boylan. I guess that's his thing to do, because yeah, what? This is what, the 5th time Jim Boylan has done this in some capacity throughout a game to make a statement to a player? Let's go all the way back to the Boston loss, the historic 56-point loss last year in December. Yanks the starters twice in the first quarter. All 5 guys, makes a 5-man substitution. The Orlando Magic loss, where Carter played pretty bad. Pulled Carter out of the game because he needed to learn some introspection. Same thing with Chris Dunn. Then this year, Lauri Markkanen being kept out of the 4th quarters back-to-back games because of poor performance. I mean, obviously, Jim Boylan has said that that wasn't a punishment for Markkanen, but and saying that he went to Thaddeus Young because Thaddeus Young and Otto Porter were better off in the closing those games of recently than Lauri Markkanen was. But again, it goes back to, like, what are we doing here then? If Markkanen's going to be the future of this team and we're in year 3 of the rebuild, he should be in games closing it out when guys are healthy, like LaVine, like Satoransky, like Otto Porter, when Otto Porter was healthy. But another case, he did. He says he doesn't yank guys, but he does.
I never yanked guys.
Yeah, I mean, that's just not even true. I mean, he has yanked guys. He just did it tonight. I mean, that was 2 weeks ago, so it makes not a whole lot of sense. And Zach LaVine makes a good point, too. It's convenient for Jim Boylan to talk about team and we're all as one, we're one unit, but then Zach LaVine gets pulled for making a couple of mistakes. I mean, it wasn't a 1-on-5 out there. And Zach LaVine doesn't deserve a whole lot of defending at this point, because I just told you 5 mistakes that he made that ended up costing them buckets, probably ended up costing them, I don't know, 6 or 8 points out of the total of the 13 that were scored. But still, it wasn't just LaVine. There's 4 other guys on that team that can score points, and none of them did. So had the Bulls knocked down a couple baskets early on to start, but LaVine probably doesn't get taken out, even if he does make all those mistakes. But it is. It's interesting for Boylan to use the team thing when it's convenient for him, but then all of a sudden it's a clear call out to the player when he gets yanked, especially early on. Like, Zach LaVine should not be getting pulled out of games 3.5 minutes in unless he's hurt.
They got off to a 13-0 start. They made shots we didn't. I got off to a good start.
You were obviously pulled pretty early there. Did Jim tell you what?
I guess I was the blame for it.
Do you know what the 3 egregious, as he called them, mistakes were?
I remember looking at them. I don't remember seeing 3 egregious mistakes. I think I was supposed to show on one. And I did, and I told him to, you know, because Jimmy usually doesn't set screens. He slips out of them. So I didn't want to show and have him, you know, cut right to the basket. But they told me to show, so I didn't show. The other two, I don't know.
Yeah, that's funny. Like, I don't think the mistakes that LaVine made were egregious. Like the turnover on offense and the bricked three to start the game. Okay, whatever. The Jimmy Butler missed wide open three. Picking Shaq Harrison is not a great look, but that's not like really an egregious mistake. It was Zach LaVine was looking one way and he was moving his body towards the basket and accidentally picked this guy. It's unfortunate after that, the series of events that had happened before that in the first 2.5 minutes of the game. But what are you going to do? The real bad ones were LaVine dropping back on defense right before the timeout and Kendrick Nunn burying a three right in his face wide open. That was a bad one. And also to LaVine calling for two different guys to take his man and he would roll off of those guys and ended up getting a three buried in his face too. So those were the two ones. I don't even think they're egregious. They're just, they were expected LaVine plays. I don't expect him to play lockdown defense, but I don't like that he's asking those guys to switch. I'd be curious to see why he was calling for Satoransky and also for Shaq Harrison to switch off of two way bigger guys that he knows can knock down threes. LaVine's not a very good perimeter defender either, so I don't know why he was having those guys switch and switch and switch. When he came off a pretty bad effort to avoid a screen at the beginning of the play, so I don't know. That would be one thing that I would ask LaVine about. But anything else, I don't think overall those five mistakes probably didn't warrant being pulled. But again, I mean, Boylan, if he was going to make a statement, pull all five starters then. Because none of them was scoring a basket. None of them played well. And if it's a team game, then pull all five guys, not just Zach LaVine, to make a statement. But I guess he's looking at his number one player on the team and saying, if you're not getting it done, I need to do something here. But it didn't help anyway. Archie Diacono came back into the game. The first shot that he takes is an absolute brick right off the backboard for three. And then Lauri Markkanen gets cooked and embarrassed chasing Kendrick Nunn to the basket. And the Miami Heat score 15, and it's 15-0 in the first 4.5 minutes. So here's a little bit more from Zach LaVine, though.
Do you feel in a situation like that, though, that you're maybe getting singled out?
I mean, if you don't just pull me, yeah. Yeah, for sure. But, you know, that's not my decision.
Right.
I've thought this for a while now, and it's something that I kind of want to talk to Matt, too, at some point next week about. I've floated the idea out to a couple of people, not here on the podcast, but I'm growing more and more concerned about the trust level in Zach LaVine and Jim Boylan overall, and then what's the decision once this doesn't work out? What if we're a month from now and the Bulls are, whatever, 5-20? Or not 5-20, 10-20. 10-25. What happens then? Or it could happen even sooner than that. It could be, I mean, we're teetering here now on the fact that the Bulls aren't winning a whole lot of games. Zach LaVine's going to grow even more frustrated with Jim Boylan. Seems like it's already, he's starting to not buy into what Jim Boylan is selling already. So we're not getting the lovey-dovey whole LaVine and Boylan are buddy-buddy now and they trust each other like we were getting at the back end of last season. It's not like that anymore. So what happens when we get to a point where Jim Boylan and Zach LaVine can't agree? Look at what happened to Jabari Parker, Bobby Portis, and Denzel Valentine. Does the front office choose Jim Boylan over Zach LaVine? Maybe. I mean, they gave the guy the extension. Zach LaVine is a far more lucrative asset to other teams. The Bulls could easily deal him if they wanted to. Is that the point we get to if the Bulls continuously go on this miserable run for the next month or so? Are we looking at the fact that maybe this Bulls rebuild is not quickly done? And that pisses me off because your goal and what you had pitched us at the beginning of the season, the expectation was to make the playoffs. If this thing is a whole total disaster and the Bulls are 10-20, what's the likelihood that Jim Boylan and Zach LaVine are still agreeing and figuring things out and getting along? Probably not that high. So at what point does LaVine say, you know what, I want out of here. Get me the hell out of here. What do you do then? You know, I feel bad for fans who paid the money to go to the game tonight, and you just see an absolute terrible effort. The Bulls play, overall in the rebuild, have played terrible at home. Like, it's not even worth spending the money to go to the game at that point, if that's the effort that we're going to get. And these are the players that we're going to see. Like, do you think the people that bought tickets tonight to this game were like, yes, I want to see Shaq Harrison start tonight? And it's no shade at Shaq Harrison either. I mean, I've been a backer and supporter of Shaq Harrison. I wanted him back on this team. And he was actually one of the only players given a shit in that first quarter. So, but overall, again, like, can't trust Otto Porter's health. Can't trust Chandler Hutchison's health. Don't see any of those guys. And we're seeing two-way guys go out there and get minutes before we see Denzel Valentine, which is a whole different mess. But still, now your star player, the guy that you're trying to build as your quote-unquote number one, or maybe you don't even think that he's the number one yet, but still, that's the guy that you're looking to lead this team, and you've got your head coach pulling him after the first 3.5 minutes after a really, really terrible start. I mean, these are conversations that we should have been having last year, that we were having last year, that we should not be having this year. It's frustrating as a fan. I mean, I know you guys don't want to watch the next 3 months just go straight down the drain and we're back to square one where we were last year, back again in March, living off of this hope and faith that all of a sudden Markkanen's going to turn it around and Zach LaVine's going to take that next step and Otto Porter's going to stay healthy and Thomas Gadaranski's going to figure out how to shoot and score the ball and Thaddeus Young is going to be the leader that brings everybody together in that locker room and Kobe White wins the Rookie of the Year. Like, this is where we're all living off of hope again, and I'm slowly falling back into where I was last year as a fan, where I was just fed up and tired of watching the same exact thing over and over and over and over again. I mean, the definition of insanity is doing the exact same thing and not thinking you're making a mistake and continuing to do that. It blows my mind. The way being a Bulls fan, and I'll leave it here at this, being a Bulls fan to me during this rebuild has felt a whole lot like kidney stones. If any of you listeners out there have had kidney stones, they're the worst. It's the worst pain I've ever felt in my entire life. But the weird thing about kidney stones is the pain comes and goes. One day you could be balled up in a corner in the worst pain in your entire life. Feels like somebody's stabbing you in the kidneys, in the sides, constantly for hours. And then you could go days, you could go weeks with absolutely zero pain. No pain at all. That's how this Bulls rebuild feels. Terrible, painstaking feeling. And then all of a sudden I'll go a week or two feeling, all right, I guess. And then the pain comes back. And it just keeps going and going and going. You know, this summer was fun because we were excited about the hope that we had. And that was the time that I spent without pain. Now it feels like my kidney stones are back and they are the Bulls and they are Jim Boylan. And it feels like my sides are getting squeezed and I'm having the worst pain of my life. This isn't fun. And this isn't fun for you guys. And this isn't fun for anybody. What's the answer now? How long do we wait to hear about what the direction of this is? There is not one single thing I can point on this team right now that gives me any hope of consistency, that the Bulls are going to all of a sudden turn this around and it's just a fluke because of the teams that they're playing and they can't close games out and they're right there on the cusp of doing that. I don't see that. So where do we go from here? What is the rebuild? Who is the rebuild centered around? What are we doing? We're back to that same question I asked in February. The same question we asked a year before that. Same question we asked on the night they traded Jimmy Butler. So I don't know, but I'm tired of watching Bulls basketball and it's the same exact thing I see every single night. I don't know. Zach LaVine shares the same exact frustration that all of us feel right now with the way the start of the season has been.
It's been tough. You know, we all had a rhythm and, you know, we're trying to find it. I think that's the main thing. And then, you know, we're obviously trying to win. You know, I think we're a really good team and, you know, we have some things we got to make up and continue to get better at, but you know, we're just not there yet.
that wasn't a huge vote of confidence. The tone too there is different than it was last year when the Bulls were just so bad. You know, LaVine was pissed off every single night. Every single night the reporters talked, LaVine was pissed off. Here he just kind of sounds dejected and I don't know, just whatever about it. Like, it's kind of like fake positive tone, and I can't really blame him either. You know, you can go back down the same path and be pissed off again, but in part, he knows, too, that it's been his performance, too, that has been bad. Last year, it was a little bit different. LaVine was playing well for the most part. When he was getting mad at those games, he was the one out there scoring 40 points a night. You know, the one specifically I remember is the Atlanta game where he was mad. I don't remember if that, exactly if that was January or February of 2019, but it was after that Atlanta loss. He was so pissed off talking about how he just tired and sick and tired of losing games. This doesn't sound like the same LaVine. I don't know if that's the fact that he still think there's a lot of games left in the season and they can turn this around, but I don't know. That sound where he said, you know, we still have a good team and I still have faith in this team. I don't know. It just, to me, it didn't sound that appealing to me, and you know, it didn't fill me with a whole lot of confidence about this team going forward. But that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. Thanks again to MyBookie and Audible for sponsoring the show today. MyBookie.ag, the promo code LockedOnNBA to get your offer. That's LockedOnNBA at MyBookie.ag. You can follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls_Peck, and at LockedOnBulls. Just real quick, I know we announced it on Twitter the other day, but thank you guys so much for listening. And if you haven't seen it on Twitter, we have now surpassed over 1 million downloads for 2019. It was the end of February when Matt and I had done a total of 1 million downloads since being at the Locked On Podcast Network. We've been here since November 2017. So November 2017 to February 2019, we had 1 million downloads. But now in 2019 alone, because of you guys, because of all the new listeners that we've had or the day ones that have been with us, it's debatable, or since we took over for Cody and Sean here, we thank you guys so much for listening to this show. I tweeted it out from Locked On Bulls, too. The Bulls have had a 300 winning percentage since we've taken over at Locked On, and yet our numbers continue to climb every single month. We continue to build off of our download numbers. So thank you again for letting us guys get to 1 million. Like, this is crazy. This is absolutely blows my mind. I was telling Matt this, that it blows my mind that we had over 1 million downloads. That is crazy. It is absolutely crazy, and it's all because of you guys. So thank you again for listening, for texting in, for dropping your voicemails, for emailing us, for tweeting at us, for just showing us so much support and so much love. Matt and I truly, truly appreciate you guys so much. And again, we love doing this show, and I absolutely love doing Locked On Bulls, and we have since we joined here. So thank you guys again. Our text and voicemail lines at 331-979-1369. You can drop your voicemails, your reaction to this loss, and anything else coming up. What did you guys think about Jim Boylan's comments there in the post game, and also to Zach LaVine? And what do you think this says about the overall trust relationship between LaVine and Boylan? If you've got thoughts, hit us up on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls_Peck, and at Locked On Bulls, or again at our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Real quick plug for our guys at Locked On White Sox. Herb Lawrence has been doing a fantastic job. The Sox signed Yasmani Grandal on Friday. It was made official. And so he did an episode breaking down all of that. And if you like the White Sox, you're looking for MLB Hot Stove, check out Locked On Cubs and Locked On White Sox. For Jordan Malley, I'm saying I'm out of here. We will talk to you guys on Monday. Thank you again for listening. For Jordan Malley, I'm saying I'm out of here. Deuces.
They've been in this building here in the Advocate Center.
But we did want to get younger, and we do want to get more athletic.
And retool, not rebuild.
We studied the options, and we've studied the NBA. We've studied the history of the NBA.
The honors, the essence of the team.
You know, we got bulls across our chest.
My job is to prepare the child for the road, not the road for the child.
Pick up a pile of stones, put them in your pocket, and jump in the river.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com.